The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7, and today, believe it or not, is the 22nd of March 2017, and I'll tell you what, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download, well, there's plenty of stuff there. There's three brand new products. You got to look into these, take a peek at them, because I'm telling you right now, the ability to change what you are today to what you want to be is absolutely incredible out there. The first one is the Winner's Circle. Those are 12 modules that I speak on, talks about my favorite movements, rep ranges. It's everything from a power rack to thick bars to sandbags, you name it, high shrugs, things that you've probably never even heard of, some people that have so much credibility. And I've got our good friend John Bruni on here, and we've been going back and forth about some things. And I was saying that lately I've been reading a lot of stuff by Anthony DiTillo, and if anybody knows anything about me, he was the prime guy for me to get into the power rack. And the only reason I know about Anthony DiTillo was because friends of mine had old Iron Man magazine circa Perry Rader, and I went to our good friend, and one of the gents that's on here with all of us is our good friend Bill Hinburn. I ordered every single magazine at the time I could get that had Anthony DiTillo in it, and I love his terminology of muscular bulk and power. Absolutely incredible. Those three words, think about, I mean, if you really truly love what we do, I mean, muscular bulk and power. Think about that. All right. Then we go into, basically, this is the teacher, educator, teacher. I replace that with trainer. No disrespect to trainers. Another thing I just feel goes over the top of your head. We'll work with anyone with anything. We're doing so much stuff with weight loss right now, and that gets into etched in stone. This is a program where basically I give you three movements. I'm going to give you, obviously, if you sign on, two other things with it. You get the Winner's Circle free. That's $299, all right? And there's going to be another freebie with it that I recorded, a 13th audio. Secondly, obviously, we have the best team of people on with us. We have Dory Peterson, who is a nurse, registered nurse, and a nutritionist, but somebody that's in the field that does the weightlifting, that does the prepping of meals, et cetera, et cetera. We have Dr. Jeffrey Smith, who is a medical doctor in Arizona. Anybody that has heard Dr. Jeffrey on here knows that I took him at 184 pounds over a year ago and took him from a dead stop parallel squat of 150 to 305 in 1 year. We are working on right now, he's about 187 on a 405 dead stop in September, the end of September. I spoke with him today. I said, let's go for August. Let's put some real horsepower on us. Let's make some urgency and go with that. We also have Dr. William Wong, who's a regular, who's been a friend of mine for years, best naturopath / anti-aging doctor in the world. We got Steven Santangelo on with us now. We also have Dr. Dale Dugas on with us now. We have not only the reputation, but we have some of the most reputable people out in the field. They will work, obviously, if we're going to be trimming weight off you. Obviously, diet, all that. I didn't want to get into that anymore. I want to stick with the training and keep improving what we're doing here with people. Now, everybody knows Dennis, if you've been following him. He's been with us over 6 weeks. He was 271. He had the 9-month pregnant looking belly, very dangerous. You know, we had to clear everything medically. And they suffer in his family from a lot of diabetes and a lot of heart disease. And his grandfather died, I think probably it was from the diabetes. His nails were black. And I don't know if, I think he lost a couple toes too. Don't let yourself get like that. Dennis is gone from 271 to 243 already. And I didn't want to introduce a lot of this stuff to him. I want to do a little bit more of the conventional weight work, which all works. But I'm telling you right now, you get a sandbag and you give me a shot, and I'll do whatever we got to do to get you to wherever you got to get. And what man doesn't want to be manly again? And we'll talk more about that down the road. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and just look at all the shows John and I have done in the last year. They're absolutely out of this world. We've got close to 700 shows already recorded in not even 3 years yet. I have busted my butt to make this place bigger than life, and we are well on the way. So check all that out. Before I bring John in, I'm going to read a little excerpt from a mutual friend of ours, and I sent Steve Jack a note. When would he like to come on? He's working on some stuff, and when he's ready and he feels he's ready to talk about it, he's going to come on. So we will have him on. I hope he's talking maybe June or July. That's fine with me. This is from Of Stones and Strength, Steve Jack, late Peter Martin. My favorite chapter, I read this in the morning, and I read it at night before I go to bed, among many other things. Chapter 33, page 107. It is at the foot of the mountain that men are proven. Here a man must choose to take up his stone or surrender his dream. No assurance of victory is given, and yet, like Sisyphus, one must conclude, and this is Steve right underneath, the struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. I can't say that enough, all right? And we're going to get into that at some point, too, again. But I'm going to bring John in. Let me give you a little information on this gentleman. We'll get him right in here. He's a strongman, author, motivational speaker, pastor, and a writer for Milo magazine. That's where I discovered John, through Milo, quite a while ago. And I can't tell you exactly how it all went down, but I believe I sent him a Facebook message. He was kind enough to answer it and come on, and here we are today. And we're going to talk about some interesting stuff. We're going to talk about NeuroGrips, number one. And then we're going to get into, like, here we go, muscular bulk of the chest. We're going to get into the flat bench, some incline, and something I want to hit on that John and I'm sure, are going to agree upon are pullovers, like dips, two movements that are extremely, extremely big and bulking. And I want to get into the rib cage, especially with carrying the stone. So we've got a full show here. John, I know that's been long, but I had to get it out. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, looking forward to today. It's going to be a fantastic podcast because there's just so much great free info that people are going to get. And I always say, you know, when you listen to this podcast, it's like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, you get so much stuff.
Yep.
And here's the thing, you know, I tell people if they apply one or two gems that they take today,
yep,
or any of these podcasts, it will change their entire training career.
Yeah, without a doubt. I didn't mention your – I know you got a couple websites. Please put that out, anything I missed, and we'll get started up with the NeuroGrips.
Absolutely. You can check me out on submitstrength.com. That's our strength equipment company. Just hardcore tools that will make your goals submit to you. And then also pressingthelimits.com. That's where you can see me hooked up to motorcycles and all kinds of strength feats and stunts. Yep. And that has information on how you can book us to come to your school, your church, your business. Whatever it is, as far as your entertainment or motivational needs, we want to meet that also.
That's friggin' awesome because, you know, John and I were talking quite a bit in the before we came on air. There's some buzz in the air around here, and John's part of it. And I think people are going to be pretty amazed what's going to be shaken out here in the next year, and it could happen much quicker. If everybody goes out and takes a look at these products and jumps on board, it's going to be real quick. And if not, tell a friend. And we're going to be out everywhere, and John's going to be part of this whole thing. We've discussed some things the last few times we've talked. We got a hold on what's going on, and we're going to do things a little bit different here. And I think people are going to be amazed. But that's another show. Let's talk about NeuroGrips and describe to everybody what they are, what benefits, et cetera, and we'll get rocking, my friend.
Well, it's just apropos we're talking about this. We actually just shot the photos for the upcoming book this past weekend in Chicago. And NeuroGrips came out of a tradition called T-handle push-ups or spike handle push-ups. They've been around for a long time. I think the original style was called an Iron Cross.
Yep.
When I first learned them from John Brookfield, it was a rolled-up sock on top of a dowel.
Yep.
But basically how I can explain it is it's basically in your mind, if you're listening out there, is a T. Okay, so you've got a handle with something welded into a T, a nail, something long. And what it causes you to do is to have to balance. Well, after all these years of performing these, I actually had a welder make my own.
Yep.
I can never find the right balance between instability and grip strength. And so the NeuroGrips are longer than most any product that are out there, and they have a very thick handle, but not too thick, and it allows you to really bite down. Now, why I came up with these and they're so important is I really got tired of people mindlessly going through their training.
Yep.
They don't think about it. They don't think into the muscle. They did not concentrate, especially when they were doing accessory exercises. I put them on the rings or different things, and you know, after a while, they became pretty good, and they just kind of mindlessly go through their training. So we invented the NeuroGrips, and obviously what it causes is neuromuscular efficiency, yes, but you also have to use your brain while you're doing it, or you're going to fall flat on your face.
Mm-hmm.
So the grip component, and this is one of the things I explain in my seminars as well as in the book, there's a massive amount of your brain is dedicated to working your hands.
Yep.
And so as you increase grip strength or you add a grip component into any exercise, that automatically brings that neuromuscular efficiency. You're automatically engaging the brain at a higher level.
Yep.
You're engaging more nerve endings. All these different things happen. So with the NeuroGrips, the balance factor, because you have to squeeze so hard, if you don't, you're going to fall on your face, plus the instability and the ability to go down into a deep stretch.
Okay.
They all go together, and that's why we call them the NeuroGrips.
Awesome. Okay, and I want to get into this, especially because I think you and I have talked about this. I've talked about this, especially with dead stop training and walking in, when you walk into the power rack. You know, I use normally a Buffalo bar, and I've got one of the close to the prototypes where there's no knurling on this. I still think this bar looks beefier than what's out there today. Probably not. Maybe it's just it's a little prettier now. This thing's just bone ugly, and it's mean looking. And, you know, I am of the belief, too, the hands, you know, it's like the hands are the soul to the mind, pretty much. And I'll sit there and twist that bar as much as I can, depending on how much weight is on it, and squeeze it and get under it and, you know, whack my traps against it. And obviously, we know how things work when you're plugged in. You know when you're dialed in well. And if I'm wrong here, I want you to correct me, John, for sure. Things happen automatically, and by this I mean everything is in tune with one another. And I've had this happen to me a million times, and then a million times I've choked it too. Where did you ever get under a bar, you do your rituals, you do your breathing, you sink your last breath if that's what you do, you try to find the white light like they talk about, you get under that thing, and that thing, no matter what's on it, sails up. And you stand there and you're like, whoa! Did I have the, and I've done this. I'll put it down, and I got to check both sides to make sure I had the right plates on there because it came off. Now I could do the same ritual, and that thing might only move an inch, and I'm so pissed off. But I explain my ritual with the twisting and the turning and the banging and all that. Does that fall in line to what we're talking about with a grip, NeuroGrip, in a different way?
Oh,
I mean.
Absolutely.
Okay.
In a different way, but the same thing. It's like before I go do a heavy bench press or a heavy squat or heavy deadlift, everybody's seeing me do the Neuro Stomp.
Okay.
Stomping the ground.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, a lot of times I'll slap my legs all the way up, or I will get the conditioning hammer.
Yep.
And slap all my forearms, my chest,
yep.
you know, whatever it takes to get fired up and in that zone, because you're going to have that moment of insanity. And that's what I call it. I mean,
yep.
you're literally going to be so mindful that you lose your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yep.
that's what we're talking about. So it was the same concept with the NeuroGrips, is we wanted to help people engage that more often.
Yeah, I like that.
And, you know, like I said, it forces you to use the mind in the training.
Yep.
And then in the book, there's all kinds of crazy, crazy, crazy progressions. Everything from jumping up in the air with them, pushing off, throwing the NeuroGrips and landing on a platform.
Yep.
I mean, there's going to be some insane things, because you always want to keep it going. But one of the main things I liked about the NeuroGrips, especially with the chest training, is what my friend Marty Gallagher, Coach Marty, is
yep.
like one of the iron legends. I mean, iron royalty.
Yep.
Is he really has helped me do the rest pause. And what happens is, a lot of times we're doing the heavy bench, or even with a dumbbell bench, you're not getting the stretch that you really need to be, because we are so thick.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of the things is, as you build this chest that we're going to talk about,
yep.
the thickness becomes so much. You get so much fascia. No matter how hard you work it out and how much tempering you do, you still find that you're so thick that the range of motion isn't where it needs to be to get
correct.
The stretch.
Yep.
And at the same time, you really can't be stretching with 450 pounds or whatever you got on the bar.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So these, because they're elevated, because, again, you're elevated from the ground, I love to take them, especially after a set of heavy benches, come down, squeeze the grips, but then sink and relax, you know, sometimes up to 30 to 60 seconds in that down position.
Okay.
And it's ripping stuff open. I mean, you're feeling stuff open up in your shoulders and everything else. Then, and because you still have to have you can't go mindless here, because if you let go of the grip, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Then squeeze the tar out of those grips, tighten everything back up, and rep back out to the starting position, and that's one rep.
Oh, I like that,
so
man.
Five or six of those after. This is accessory movement.
Yep.
You're opening up stuff that you can't believe, and the control to come out of a rest of 30 to 60 seconds at that pause.
Yep.
And then to come out of that, it's unbelievable. You got to try it.
Now, just so everybody knows, they can go out to your website and get these now, John?
Absolutely. You can get them there. You can get them on Dragondoor. You can get them on Amazon.
Okay. And if they go out and search any NEURO grips, they'll point to one of you guys, right?
Yeah, NEURO
yep.
dash grips. And
okay,
you can jump right on.
Just reiterate again. I'd rather have them go. I know that the other people are involved with you, but give the site where they can go out and get them, you know, directly from you, if you don't mind.
submitstrength.com. There's a link on there for all the NeuroMass items. You click on that link and you'll get right taken to where you need to go.
Okay, so
simple, easy peasy.
That's what you want to do, because nobody wants complications, man. You know, that's
yep.
the whole thing. All right, so we got that. Anything else you want to say about them?
Well, as we're going into this whole chest,
yeah.
you know,
yep.
this idea of building the chest,
yep.
I've gotten so much feedback about how much more meat people
yep.
are getting put on from a push-up.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's because they're learning to engage
everything.
You know,
yep.
when you do that, you know, you're building up, because the body wants to be balanced.
Yep.
And so if you want a big chest, you have to work everything around it too.
Yep.
And the stretch component, I would say, is what's building people the biggest chest.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, stretching that fascia, getting that blood rush in there, and then cranking back out of it, guys are getting crazy results.
Let me ask you this, too. I mean, I know that we talked about the bench press with it and everything. Just give it – I mean, I know we do a push-up with them. What other movements did you find that really stretch everything out? Obviously, hey, look, you know, we talked about muscular bulk and strength and power. Obviously, you know, if we're stretching things out, we got the opportunity maybe even building a little bit more there. So what else do you like to do with those? I mean, I don't want, you know, I know the book's coming out and everything, but just, you know, give us a little bit if you can.
Well, you know, the old days, you know, in Iran and the different countries, they had the push-up board.
Yep, I remember, yep.
And the whole, all that. Well, I like to do Hindu push-ups.
Yep.
And dive bomber push-ups on them, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the most legendary things. You know, we talk about Matt Fury really exploded that into the America as far as the Hindu push-up, the importance of it. Well, when you add an extra stretch element, you're getting deeper,
yep,
along with a grip component, along with a balance component into the Hindu push-up.
Yep.
The results are off the charts.
Oh, I like that, man. That sounds real, real appetizing to me.
Yeah, when you see the pictures, it'll blow you away.
Okay.
You don't realize how much of a stretch.
Okay.
It just makes it that much harder. And,
yeah.
And that's what I think it was. Mike Mentzer used a quote in one of my books that anything you can do to make your workout harder is a step in the right direction.
I agree
and
with you.
That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. Now, here's something. I mean, I know. I'm not going to get real deep because I got a lot of questions about this, but I do want people to go out and get the book, obviously. And then we'll talk about the book when you're ready to roll, obviously. Because everybody's concerned. You know, John, I think a lot of this is becoming ridiculous, too. Recovery. I mean, you got to be your own guide in a lot of that stuff. But when we're working the neuro grips, and I know I'll probably get something from somebody for sure. Okay, let's just say we're doing a rack work program. You know, you and I both know it could be anything in the rack, or maybe we're doing rack and conventional together. Maybe we're doing some tire flips, some farmer's walks, some stone carries, whatever. But we break it down, let's just say to 3 days. And, of course, thing I've been really engaging is a lot of shoulder stuff right now. And that's a whole nother show. But we might be able to even work this in, obviously, with the press. How many days a week can we engage in this initially? I mean, is there a barometer you found with this? And if someone is not proficient yet, and just say even a push-up, let alone doing Hindu, whether you're doing the Hindu push-ups, because I remember I've got all those books by Matt Fury. It's funny how you and I are talking about him, and he came, you know, we talked about this before the show and the connection with Bill Hinburn and everybody and Dale. How many days a week? How can we kind of meld this in a little bit without, you know, someone's going to say, well, I'm going to be worried I'm going to get overtrained, or what if I do this and it doesn't work? And you know we're going to hear this. So what would you suggest when we're getting into these neuro grips?
Well, the first thing is, you know, a lot of people fall flat on their face. Guys that can bench a lot.
That's what I figured.
Really, really struggle those first few times. Especially if you've got some decent body weight on you.
If
you've got some weight, you're going to be working your butt off. It's not a typical push-up by any stretch.
Okay.
I would say if you bench, you know, if you can rep at 315,
yep,
you know, you could probably work these. And this is my opinion.
Okay.
If you were using them as an accessory,
yep,
you could do it every day for, if you know, low reps.
Yep.
You know, grease the groove type thing. Or if you're doing it as a stretching component, you could do it every day.
Interesting.
But if you really wanted strength and you're doing some of the explosive movements that are going to come out in the book, which are ridiculous,
okay,
you would probably want to do those 2 or 3 times a week.
That's what I figured,
But I really like, you know, using them. Again, now, we lift so heavy, so it's a different thing. I really like using them as a finisher.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who are very, very strong use them for one of their main chest exercises because it does take so much work, especially when you start elevating the feet. You know, in the book, we have a guy doing a wall walk with them.
Nice.
So you can just – the sky – it gets pretty ridiculous that if you're wall walking, that's your workout. There's no way.
Yeah, you're not doing anything else. Nope.
You're balancing on these little tiny things, you know, and it's crazy.
All right, I'm going to ask you something. This is coming from me now because this has really got me thinking. Anybody that does any type of heavy stone work, we all know, no matter what the weather, but up here when we get these high levels of humidity and 90-degree days, and of course it's usually always going to fall on a stone day, there's one thing that I've done all along, because I feel you need to do this, especially when it's put, and this is going to lead right into the chest, the whole deal. Two things. I believe the close grip bench press is very beneficial for carrying stones. I believe that center more than the outer part of the pec, and you have to take care of the outers, because I've said on other shows, when those stones, especially the Husafel, if it goes a little bit forward on you, it can cause problems in the insertions. I imagine some people, and I hope it's none of us, you could end up tearing it's got that much of a pull on your body. It can do that. So I believe, especially walking, I believe the middle of the chest, the close grip would be in a bench, is very beneficial for that. And then secondly, what we're going to talk about today, among many, is the pullover. Now think about this, ladies and gents. The more air you can get into you, wouldn't it be that much better when you're walking? And a stone that gets extremely heavy puts major pressure on your breathing. Try it sometime and tell me what you think. So I guess the question is, NeuroGrips, I could get quite a bit of that too to build my stone training, correct?
Yeah, you can expand the rib cage, which is an old school Perry Rader, yep. You know. You can work on rib cage expansion, deep breathing, bioenergetic breathing by going into that bottom position of the Hindu push-up.
Yep.
And that, so you're stretched.
Yep.
So you're in that bottom position with the hips dropped.
Yep.
And breathe deep, 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 deep. It'll do stuff to you. It'll take you to another place.
Yes.
And also with stone lifting, I don't want to change the topic.
No, that's okay.
One of the things we all know. I want to stay with the chest today. One of the things that's missing, you know, with the stone lifting is the biceps. And one of the things that we put in the book, and again, it's hard to explain that. That's why when the book comes out, it'll be much easier to explain, because you have to see it.
Sure.
You attach bands on the ends of these things.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you've got leverage curls.
Yep.
So you're fighting against leverage. It wants to rip out of your hand.
Yep.
Not unlike, you know, the stones, or if you go to even the handles of the Denny stones.
Yeah.
They want to rip out of your hands.
Yep.
So you work on these leverage curls. You're working your fingers. You're working everything. It's not just the chest and triceps that are getting beat on. And another thing I don't realize is that if you're doing a bench press correctly, or you're doing any of the presses correctly, your biceps are helping stabilize and control that load on the way down.
That's correct. Definitely. I found out the hard way. I mean, I tore it. Just like Bill Crawford, I mean, who knows? I worked them probably never to the degree maybe I should have, but I've said to everybody, and people still disagree with me, they don't feel that you have to work a bicep to make it real strong, and I totally disagree with anybody on that. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to get a tear. And if they're not strong and supple, and see, that's the thing I hear from people. What do you mean supple muscles? Well, a muscle doesn't have to be rigid and raw-looking to be strong. You're better. It's the same way with your hands. Think about how many times you need to take a file to your calluses. What happens if you break a callus when you're deadlifting? It opens up like a piece of meat. I hate to tell you, everybody, guess what? You're not going to be lifting for a few days, and that's why super glue is my best friend out in the garage. So it's the same way with the biceps. I think the biceps to me now are more pertinent than, you know, obviously the fingers, the wrists are extremely, extremely pertinent to lift a stone, because you won't if you don't have it. But don't ever underestimate what the biceps do. Sorry, John, I didn't mean to walk over you, but that gets me fired big time now.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, you've got so many things. Like I said, I can't remember how many exercises, but it's off the chart.
Yep.
And all we're saying is, if you're going to do, you know, here's what I guess what I think. If you want to do great things, pick a few big, you know, a few big compound movements. Become a master of those.
Yep.
But on the side, you need some accessories that challenge your brain and your body so that, you know, again, you're making your nervous system so strong in those lifts.
Yeah.
You need to challenge it in other ways to keep it fresh and to keep your mind going and to keep your adrenaline pumped.
Absolutely. It's a very interesting thing here that you've come out with and you've written about, because once again, it's, you know, the small things make a big difference. And it's great, you know, you can do a nice clean 500-pound, 400-pound bench press. And I always like talking about, you know, basically doing it in street clothes like you used to see the guys in the 40s and 50s. You know, you talk about 50s with Paul Anderson area. You know, you look at some of those old Muscle Beach pictures, and they're pressing these huge things overhead, and they're wearing a – looks like they just went to church on Sunday, you know. I can appreciate that rawness, that feeling. And, you know, this stuff that you're doing is pretty amazing. I can't wait to read this book and do a show about it. And obviously this breaks right in when we were talking about big chest. We were talking about building the upper chest, the pullover. So let's get started, John. Take it away.
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head, is this going back to the old school. One of the privileges I had when I spoke at the Arnold Classic was later on we were invited to go to the International Sports Hall of Fame
induction
ceremony.
Yeah.
So I got a chance to talk to Bill Kazmaier, and yep. He was sitting right in front of me, and they were showing a lot of his old footage because he got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And again, when these guys were doing presses and they were doing all this stuff, they were doing it in a wrestling singlet.
Okay. Yep.
You know, they didn't have all the fancy stuff that we have today where, you know, it's the 5-ply bench shirt or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think we've forgotten that if you want to be big, and I'm for some assistance gear, you know, go when you're going beyond what your body can do. But before you get into that, you got to find out what can your body do without it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm very high on some of the great things like Donnie Thompson's bow tie.
Oh, yeah. And,
you know, I'm all about that. But that's not actually limiting you. That's actually just putting you in a position to work harder.
Yes.
And smarter. So, you know, when we talk about building a big chest, it's so much more than a simple press.
Yep.
It's hitting it from all the different angles. I love doing heavy pullovers.
Correct.
Great forgotten exercise. I think people have gotten kind of scared of it over the years.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't even know what one is anymore. It's a great exercise. You can do a lot of things, but we've gotten to gyms today where people are scared of dropping something on their face.
Not only that, they kick you out most places if you drop it on the floor.
Absolutely.
You know. Yeah.
You know, so we've forgotten how to do some of these great old school movements.
Yep.
So definitely the pullover is a great chest builder, and if you do the breathing correctly, you're going to expand the rib cage.
Yep.
It's a phenomenal movement. Again, once you've done heavy pressing, that's a great movement. And now I want to throw something out to you that a lot of the listeners may not be aware of, or they may think is kind of funny, but I think it's a great, great tool.
Yep.
You just have to get the right size and modify it. I love the old school power twister.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big coil, and if you go now, you can get the new ones. They're extremely, extremely heavy duty. I mean, the old ones, you could probably do 1,000 times without, you know, if you're in shape.
Yeah.
You're strong. I mean, you could rip thousands of those things out.
Yep.
But the new ones, I mean, they've got like garage springs on them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're extremely, extremely heavy. And getting that in position, so a lot of times what I do is, because it kind of mimics bending steel.
Yep.
Not to the same extreme, but you can do it over and over again. When you bend steel, that's one of the things that stinks. I love doing it.
Yep.
But as soon as you have that bend, your chest is fried, but the steel's bent.
Yeah.
So unless you just want to go back and forth and break it, which, you know, you can do too, you kind of spent as far as, okay, I need to get more steel. I like to do these in two positions. So I do the palms up, and you take your hands, so your palms are facing downward first, excuse me. And then you push and press that in together, but you focus on the chest when you bring your hands together. So you've got this power twister. You've got your hands touching.
Yep.
And then this is the secret sauce here. You actually want to, just like the old muscle control courses teach, yep. in that contracted position, you actually want to try and make your pecs jump up and down.
Yep.
And what's going to happen is that isolation, the burn is crazy. And then after you've repped out a set of that 20, 30 reps,
mm-hmm.
you flip, then you go palms up and do the same thing. But in the contracted position, squeeze the chest and make it pump up and down. I find that if you can find those chest muscles and get them activated, even if you're sitting here, I've been doing this long enough. My wife thinks it's gross. She's like, that's so gross. Stop doing that. But, yeah. you know, you can sit here and my kids yell at me too. I'll be sitting at a table just for fun and I'll make my boobs go up and down, you know,
yep,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But unless you can get that feeling, you'll never know how to really isolate and bring the chest into the movement.
Yep. Definitely. That, you know, I can't remember. I think years ago I saw them. I know they're out again. I think I was going through Amazon and I looked through and found one. But do you don't market them through your site, do you, John?
No, I wish I did. And you have to get one that's extremely heavy duty. The ones yeah. that say they're heavy duty, they're not. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Is there a place that you would you suggest anybody?
I found mine. There was like four different companies on Amazon, and I think
yeah.
you know. You could probably make your own.
Yeah.
I've done several things. I've actually taped two together before.
Yeah.
And things like that. Be creative. All I'm saying is, you know, even if you go out and buy a spring and have a welder, you know, make one yourself.
Sure.
You can probably make the most ridiculous levels on the planet.
Yep.
The point is that's a great exercise that kind of gets underutilized because once something that worked back in the day kind of becomes a joke.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Everything's a joke, but the funny thing is when you looked at those older athletes that, you know, most people just scoff off, you know, when we're talking dips and pullovers and all that stuff. You know what I use a lot with that? I got this years ago, and it is for your grip and everything. I got it out of Lifeline, you know, sports grip. Yeah. I can take this thing and do the same thing with it, and it's no longer than, I don't know, probably a foot long. And this thing, when you do that, let me tell you something, you can feel that all through your pecs. So, I mean, I've got that thing here. It's right by my left leg all the time. I've got that. I've got cables, you know, bands next to me. I've got clubs up here with me. I mean, I love doing stuff like that when I'm talking to somebody or if I'm standing up or if we get off doing a podcast or I'm working, I might go over there and do a couple things. And I don't want to get away from this at all, but I'm going to tell you something. And I haven't really got it to the point where it's something I really want to get into, but I've always been doing for years. I love doing, you can do it as a warm up before or on your off days. And I'll take a conventional 1-inch York Circa bar. I've got one of the real, I've got a couple of them, and I found them. I bought one new years ago, and you can't get them anymore. It's got the chrome, in you know, that the bar runs through on it, and it's got the typical, you know, the inside collars outside are the red ones from York with those cheesy little things that you got to spin around to lock them down. But I've got a pair of Iron Mine, you know, the bulldogs on the end where, you know, once the weight's mounted onto it. And you don't have to do a lot of weight with this. And you can do multiple different exercises with it. But I like to do a pull, a push, and a pull. So I might do a barbell curl, standing press, and a bent row. And what I've done here is I've taken bands, and I'm just trying it. And the other day I was doing it, and I got the pump of my life out of it. I would do a barbell curl, and I don't think it was any more than 27 pounds. But I'm talking 10 to 15 reps, grab a band. And believe me, ladies and gents, it's a whole different feel with a band from a bar. Same thing. I might vary. I just do them in my head all the time. So maybe I did 7 with the band. Then I went overhead with the bar. I could have done anything from 7 to 20. Put the bar down, grab the band, step on it with both feet, press it. Maybe I do 15 now with that. Then I go and do a bent row. Same thing with the band. Do that like 10 to 15 times, one after the other, and stay whatever rep ranges you want. I'll usually set a timer for 15 minutes. See if you can nail it in 15. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, when John talks, you put that together like the neuro or anything like that. Let me tell you something, man. My muscles, and of course, you know, I'm down in like 25 aminos, whether they're going to work or not for me. I go out there and then come in and take 25 more. I looked like somebody blew me up with helium, literally. And the feel I got from it was unbelievable. And to be honest with you, after lifting a 370-pound Hoosa steel stone the other day, I got a little bit right now in my lower back and a little bit in my left hip. But I'm ready to go first thing tomorrow morning. And tomorrow's going to be stone lifting again. Because, as always, I am trying to improve upon that. Well, I don't want to say try. I am improving on it, and now I want to go either every other day or every 2 days. But that all breaks in more and more with what we're doing here with the chest. Now, a thing I used to do a lot many years ago, John, when I was really into the overhead, especially in a commercial gym, and the bench press, I learned from a lot of old lifters, whether right, wrong, or not, but it always warmed the shoulder girdle up. I would start with standing presses and go to whatever the desired weight, because as we know, most gyms, I don't know if they do it now, but they were all pre-made. And this was a hardcore gym. I think we had them up to 150. They were huge. And then we would go right in, be fairly warmed up, and start with the flat bench press. What's your feeling on that? And we'll just start, you know, we'll roll right through this now.
I love it. I love it. I think, you know, all these different things, you know, the standing press, all those. I mean, I remember doing some of the presses back on the old universal machines at gyms.
Oh, yeah.
And you could get some good leverage and just really crank out on those things. I think anything you can do that's activating those muscles and doing it in as many different ways as you can. Now, going back to one thing.
Yeah.
You know, you always need one big thing that you're focusing on that's the important thing. So it's like this is the potatoes would be your rack work.
Yep.
Or your heavy bench, you know, whatever that needs to be. That's the potatoes. But if you want to add some flavor to the potatoes, you need to do all these little things, and that makes it just that much better. The gravy. The gravy is working the chest from as many different angles and ways as you can with things that will make you strong.
Yep.
As well as forcing some blood into there. A couple things that I like to throw out to you.
Sure.
Unconventional.
Yep.
Taking the yoga block at the end of the workout.
Yep.
For an isometric crush, you put it long ways,
mm-hmm.
using just your chest, and try and literally break that yoga block.
Oh.
Try and crush
it. Yep.
Your chest, I mean, you'll feel the burn like you've never felt.
Yep.
Also, I don't know how many of you are listeners, but I love them for this thing. We love the pullover, but what's another exercise that mimics the pullover and engages the core and can really stretch you out? Using the heavy clubs.
Yeah.
Taking the heavy clubs from a swing and then letting them drop over the back.
Yep.
To the pullover position and then firing it back out. Now you've got, you know, you're not just working the chest, but you're engaging the abs, the rib cage will blow up from this.
Yep.
If you're breathing correctly, the heavy clubs, you know, use a pair of 25s, 35s, or I use the single 45 a lot of times just as a single for that movement. Your chest will blow up. It's also healthy. And then one of the last tools of the trade, where I work out on Monday nights, because we call it the concrete gym. There's a garage gym where I work out with my friends.
Yep.
And for chest day, I have to work out there because you have to have spotters because it's so ridiculous.
Yep.
But one of the things that we just got there is the hammer strength incline press.
Nice.
Now, people know me. I am not a machine guy.
Right.
Except for that machine. I am telling you, as a finisher, because, you know, you got independent arm action,
mm-hmm.
angle of the bench. The way that your arms come in, it forces both hands in, which causes the pecs to fry from your mind. I mean, I talked about last night, we literally went out of our minds.
I mean,
drop set that way.
Yeah.
So normal drop sets, you get like a second to recover in between. We had a guy on each side just shedding plates when you were dead, and they're like, keep going. There's no break. I remember just telling them, there is no break. And you get down, and by the end, literally, you're screaming.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, that primal yell out of there. And you couldn't even get, you know, the arms to go up halfway. And when you got out of that, of course, they had to peel me out of the bench at that point. Out of the machine.
Yep.
I'm not kidding. You know when you've done the work.
Yep.
But that's the finisher.
Yep.
And that's what I try to tell people. It's like, have your potato exercise. Have your meat and potatoes. But the gravy stuff will make your training that much more flavorful.
Yep.
And it will add, you know, a little sense of growth. It's the little things you do to tweak the big things.
Yeah.
That make it special. But here's what I want people to understand. Make sure you're focusing on the big stuff first.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to get caught up in all these extra stuff we're going to talk about.
Yep.
So people will say, I just want to do pullovers, or I'm going to go play with yoga block, or I'm going to do this. You have to do the big, heavy compound work first.
Yep.
Before you earn the right. Let's talk about it this way. If you want to have a big chest, you got to earn the right to do the accessory movements.
Yes, sir.
You don't get to just do these things, folks. You got to earn the right by putting in the heavy work first. Then you earn the right to work on the accessory stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing is, we know, and we don't have to get into this a lot because we do all the time, and I think people know our feeling, but it's good to always reinforce it, is the majority of people don't want to work things hard like that. You know, it's hard to get under a big squat and keep progressing with it. It's hard to get under a big bench, keep progressing it. Hard overhead, hard with a pull. But what it does, you know, and this is what I was talking about offline with a friend of mine the other day. You know, they're talking about this, that, and the other thing. I said, you're like in a holding pattern right now. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, you do the same things over and over again, don't you? Yep. And do you ever deviate from anything you're doing? Well, yeah, you know, we do this and that. I said, yeah, but it's not, I wouldn't consider an accessory like that really much of what you're trying to get away from. And they're like, well, what are you saying? I'm like, I'm basically saying is, if you're doing a deadlift and you're getting stale on it, and most people say, well, you know, got to back off or deload and all this crap all the time, I'll say to them, did you ever do a farmer's walk? Yep. I said, what does that simulate when you initially pull it off the ground? And if you want to, you can deadlift both of those bars, the apparatus. Never thought of it. And I said, what's the best dividend of it all? Movement. There you go. Movement. Move, and move. Turn, come back. Put them down. If you get the opportunity like I did, buy a handle that's just maybe a hair oversized. So you're going to get a little bit of grip activity. But do you understand when you are messing around with things and you can get a little bit of stale, and as I call the holding pattern, you're not going to be real happy how your training could possibly be going for a long length of time. And as we all know, people love to talk about the burnout, the overtraining, and then, you know, when you're messed up like that, then we could get into an injury, and we don't want to do that. So you're right, to earn the accessories, to earn an incline piece of apparatus like hammer strength. In fact, I was going to say to you, John, I'm cleaning up a lot of stuff in the garage now. I have the first generation, and you know, I'm not a big machine guy at all. I have the first generation Nautilus seated press with the sides to do flies with. And I'm going to clean that thing back off and start using it again, because as you said, and you made the perfect comment, get everything from every angle. Now, I've done this before, and I love doing it. I love taking my log outside, cleaning it, might be do some medium pressing with it, and go back and forth between that and the seated Nautilus with the fly. Let me tell you something, folks. John's talking about that. I talked about it. I am telling you, you'll look like somebody blew you up with helium everywhere. And your lats especially. And people say, well, you're not directly doing your lats. You're hitting your lats, folks, very hard. You'll look like, indirectly, like you could fly to the moon. They'll be so damn big. So, you know, when we talk about big chests, well, we haven't even got into the lat area and all that, and we will. But what's your feeling on all that, John?
Oh, man, like I said, you've got the key thing is hitting it from all different angles.
Yep.
The body responds to shock and awe.
Yep.
You know, your nervous system gets so good after a while, you have to do something to shock the system.
Yep.
And like I said, I love all this different stuff, you know. And rotate it. That's the key thing. Rotate.
Exactly.
Don't become the Nautilus master, you know, where you're still doing this Nautilus for 5 straight years.
Right.
What you do is you put it in a rotation.
Yep.
Salmon go through a cycle of this as an accessory, you know, and then I'll lay off it for a month and do something else for an accessory, you know. You got to stick with it for a minimum amount of time. And I usually say 4 to 6 weeks is a minimum.
Without a doubt.
You've got to have these times when you shock and awe the body. And I'm telling you, when you do, you know it when you do it. And let me throw something out about lats.
Yeah.
Because to make the chest look bigger, you know, first of all, you got to do some rows, which we don't – that's a whole other show.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to do one on bent rows, definitely.
But one of the things people need to understand is one of the ways that you can totally change whether you're getting bicep work or lat work. Because here's the thing. A lot of people want to work lats.
Yep.
That's one of the things I learned from Marty Gallagher. When you put the thumb around the bar, you tend to want to do biceps.
Yep.
Engages the biceps. When you do the false grip, all of a sudden you're focusing on the lats and taking the biceps out of it.
Yep.
So that's just a little tip there for those who are like, hey, I'm really can't get my, you know, lats there. Because, you know, you find these guys, huge biceps from doing rows and no lats. A lot of times, just if they make that simple, and not everybody has to do that, but if you're struggling, you're stuck. Here's one of these gems.
Yep.
Okay. Throw
yep.
out.
Yep.
Change your grip.
Yep.
And find out that it makes like a huge difference, and it can change, you know, the target muscle. That's the thing, you know, with these shows, everybody's going to find like one or two gems if they apply it, not just listen to it.
Yeah.
But actually put it into practice, it's going to radically change their career.
And not only that, you know, like I love to mix things up. You know, I've been doing a lot of one-arm stuff, mainly with a 2-inch handle. Press dead stop out of my rack on that apparatus that we built where we can go right in the cage. You're fully protected. Put your hand through the big hole there. Grab your dumbbell and press till your arm falls off you. Obviously, you know, I think I've said this probably on the last show, but I'm going to repeat it again. I love asking those guys over in Scotland that are lifting the Inver, the Dinnies, this, that, and that, and it was funny. Everybody knows Martin Janzik's great friend of the show to me. What do you think made you lift stones more? Flipping tires, okay. Then I talked to Stevie Shanks. How'd you get yourself much stronger to lift the Dinnies, considering you never had done it before? I work my back. Make your back bigger. I said, how do you make your back bigger? One arm, deadlifts. Now, it's the same thing when we're talking about lats and everything. I like to do variations, obviously. I mainly, you know, get in a position, grip my keg, and pull them off like that. Now, I can do that in the power rack with that piece we make to press with. Another thing, too, you know, we talk thick bars. I've got a beautiful – I have multiple thick bars. I love to throw the tires on them and do bent rows that way. There's just so many things you can get into, and nothing looks better than a big chest and a big set of lats, man. And you're going to be a tailor's nightmare, like I'm sure John and I know I am, too. But you know what? It's pretty funny when you go in there and they look at you and you're like, oh, my God. And they'll try to bring out some type of conventional coat and you can't even get your damn forearms through the sleeve. Okay? So my point is this. Incline, flat bench, overhead, pullovers. You know, we want to always incorporate the squat in there. To me, the squat will always be my main thing to stir. You know, it will be the spoon in the drink that stirs the drink. I love the squat. Obviously, we talked about a pulling movement, but I mean, obviously, you can incorporate a deadlift in. Another movement that I like to work with the chest is I like doing power cleans too. They don't have to be monstrous heavy. I like throwing all the bumpers on it I've got or whatever I'm using for that night because I love the sound of a York bar when you clean it. Some people press it, whatever you want to do with it. I just love the sound when you let it down and it goes da-dum, da-dum, and you're watching those rubber plates just kind of eventually gravity stops them moving. I'm a guy that loves environment around me. I set things up here purposely like that. Now, a lot of people say, well, what the hell does that mean? Well, it might mean you lifting XYZ, or it might mean you break a record tonight that you weren't even planning on. Environment, bars, bumpers, power racks, chest, upper chest, name it. It's all how you perceive it. It's all how you go after it. And we haven't even got into the mental notion of it, and we don't have to today. This is mainly about bulking the hell out of yourself. Muscular bulk and power, as I said, via Anthony DiTillo. It's exciting stuff, everybody. I mean, if you can't get fired up and want to just, you know, I said the other night, John, it was interesting. How many times have you watched Rocky? I mean, I couldn't even tell you how many times. Every time I watch that movie, what do I want to do? I want to go out and lift some iron. Or I want to go just peel a sandbag off the ground, even if it's for 5 minutes. You know why? Because it meant, you know, you see it not only in front of you, but you start to mentally grasp it. And that thing I love to say goes off in you. And it's like, I got to go do something, man. It's the same way we portray everything here. We do everything we talk about. We love what we do. We want to encourage you to do it. And this is how we do it. So take it away. I know that was long again, but I had to get that point out.
Yeah, you know, your environment is everything. I've written articles about this. You know, my office, I've got a big original. It's not the actual original. It's the original picture.
Yeah.
It's not from the original theater, but Rocky One.
Oh, yeah.
It's got him climbing up the steps or running up the steps. It's in my office, real big picture right behind me. And it says his whole life was 100-to-1 shot.
Yep.
And every time I turn around, I walk into my office, that's one of the first things I see. It gets me jacked out of my mind.
You know? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You need things that are mental stimulators that will push you to the next level. And set your environment up like that, whether it's music, whether it's old pieces of iron or creative things that you have. You know, I love old pieces of old school equipment.
Yeah.
It just calls to me and says, lift me. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
There's something about being in that environment with that stuff. You just get jacked.
Yeah, you do.
Set yourself up for success that way.
Well, yeah. Now, I know we're getting near the end of everything. Let's just give everybody a little bit. I mean, we know the tried and true is 5 sets of 5. We can get more into this if we want to develop it around the legs and everything else. But let's talk about, you know, incline, flat bench, pullovers. Let's just give everybody a little routine. So the next time we meet, if we hear anything, whether we do or don't, if you want, we can expand on it. There's just so many things we've gotten into, and we've painted a picture with a broad brush, which is beautiful. But let's give everybody a little something. If they hear it, when they hear this in the next few days, they'll say, you know what? I want to try a little bit of this. So what would you suggest, John?
Okay. I want to throw something out. Very simple program that will get your chest growing. Okay. You're going to start out with 3 sets of 4 reps. Well, let's change this. Okay. Let me change it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I want to put extra accessory work in there.
Okay.
Let's do 5 sets of 3 reps, and they should be heavy.
Okay.
Okay, so we're talking about 85-90% of your strength goal, and we're going to do those 5 sets out of the rack.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So 5 sets, flat bench, out of the rack. Okay, so if people are working that five sets of three, three is like a magic number as far as the what I call the nervous system. You can really push it at that level. When you get the five sets of five, it's great for both. You get a little bit of hypertrophy and strength in there.
Absolutely.
So five sets of three. And then what I want you to do is immediately go after that. You're going to go and do pullovers.
There you go.
And it should be heavy, high reps for you, not to failure, but they're deep breathing pullovers.
Yep.
Then as soon as you're done with that, I want you to bring two benches together or two chairs together, whatever it may be, so that you can get a deep stretch. And I want you to do a deep stretch, rest, pause, push-up.
Nice.
If you don't have your reps, use that. And so what we want to do is try and get at least 15 to 30 seconds. If you're real crazy ambitious, you go 60 seconds, your chest will blow up.
But
at the bottom, at the bottom, you want to relax and breathe. This is the key thing.
Yep.
It's counterintuitive. This is what Marty Gallagher talks about all the time. It is counterintuitive to relax in the bottom position.
Yep.
What this is going to do is it's going to make your rest of your bench go through the roof. But
yeah.
So you're going to do that, and I want you to do at least three sets of 3 to 5 reps of that.
Nice.
Then you're going to go out, and you are going to do something, what I would call some kind of isometric exercise, whether it's crushing the yoga block, whether it's bending a nail, you know, getting a couple 60 pennies, but something to work the inner pecs as hard as you can. And then finally, you're going to take your arms and you're going to cross your wrist.
Yep.
You're going to do a most muscular pose, hiss out through your teeth, and try and make your pecs jump up and down for a finisher. Hold that for 12 to 15 seconds and repeat it 2 or 3 times. You do that, your chest is going to be exploding out of it. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's an awesome way to do things, man. And that type of routine is going to work for anybody that gives it an honest to God try, because we already talked about the neuro grips and everything there, and obviously I hope people go out and purchase them, because I'm going to get a set myself. It doesn't always, you know, John laid it right out. I mean, and we always talk about heavy, heavy, heavy. Okay, we've got our one movement. We're going to say heavy, heavy, heavy. And obviously, we are adding accessory to it. But once you swear yourself into and commit to something very heavy with a big goal, just think how much fun it is when you're using neuro grips. Or, you know, you're basically crossing your wrists like that, and you want to make your pecs dance. And you know, with a pullover, there's one thing I just want to stress with a pullover, because I do a multitude of them. I still like doing laying flat on my back with a straight bar like they did in the old York days and before that. But it's very dangerous on the shoulders if you go too heavy, so be cognizant of that. I actually have a pullover bench. I don't even know if they make them anymore. I found one time. It was really heavy duty. I got it here. I do it 2 different ways, and you don't have to have a pullover. You can do it off a straight bench, obviously, with a straight bar. But I use a curling bar mainly because it keeps a lot of crap off my bicep and things of that nature. Pretty comfortable. But I've also done things you know, with a straight bar made out good. Now, I know in most conventional gyms, they like to use the dumbbell and lay over the middle of the bench, say, hanging off. I'm not a big lover of that unless I've got my own dumbbells made and I know I've got some bulldogs bitten right through the bar itself, because, let's face it, the teeth you own, you could lose. So always be cognizant of things like that. I'm more inclined to use a straight bar. John, add anything you want to that, and give out all your info, and we'll get ready for next month, because we got a hell of a program we're building here, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. You know, throw a couple things out. There's different variations of pullovers.
Yeah.
And you want to be safe with them. You know, if you don't have the core strength to do laying sideways on the bench, start flat on the bench.
Yep.
A lot of people can't handle that in the beginning.
Yep.
It all depends on, you know what your body, we want to push your body to its limit.
Yep.
But where you start, you know, you want to get into a rhythm. And a lot of people have never done pullovers, have flexibility issues.
Correct.
All kinds of stuff. So you want to be very careful in the beginning. And, you know, I love doing them both ways. You know,
oh, yeah. Oh, uphill, yeah.
Straight bar.
Yep.
Pullovers. I mean, you can't. It's a lost exercise. But
without a doubt. You know, I remember many years ago, John McKean wrote in Hard Gainer. Now, probably at the time, I think his son Robbie was the only one training with him then, and they did a thing. I bet you John had to be, well, I think John just turned 70. God, I got to believe he was probably in his mid to late 40s then. And John always had a big rib cage. I mean, if you know anything about John McKean, not only an incredible lifter, but he's only about 5'6". And when you hear him talking about this, all the stuff he did in the power rack and the partials and the big chest and all that, I remember, and I can't quote this verbatim, but they did a big article in Hard Gainer. That's Stuart McRobert. If people aren't familiar with it, just go out and check it. You probably can get a back issue, and that's a guy I'd love to get on the show, by the way. There's John, you know, as they would say, old, and Robbie. I think Robbie was probably 19, 18 then. And I think John put on, I want to say, 3 inches on his chest. Now, granted, the back and the lats were affected by this. You know, I'm going to make a little disclaimer there on that, but it doesn't matter. A guy his age, I mean, Robbie, he grew like a weed. I mean, it was even bigger, the measurement. But think about that, folks. You can obviously build a chest. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think when I talk to Carmen Caputo and all those gentlemen next, I'm going to ask him about it, because on our last show with Carmen blew up. He set a record for the squat, and he set a record for the bench press, and he's 71 years old. He's been training. He told me on the show last time, this is phenomenal. This is what I admire about these men so much. Got his first York weight set in 1960. And I said to him, did you ever think you'd be here in 2017 doing it? He goes, Eric, when I went into the Marines, I didn't think I was going to be alive after that. Incredible stuff. So anybody tells you can't do it, do what I always tell you to do. Turn around and walk away from them. But learn how to do it properly, because you don't want to get hurt. They're very easy to get kind of weight crazy with, and you can get in some trouble, especially shoulder-wise with it. So just err on the side of caution. You know, John gave you the bench, all the things to do. You've got, you know, when you hear this show, I mean, John hits it right on the head. The amount of information that you're getting off this podcast, I don't care who's out there, you're not getting that from anybody else. And if you are, chances are they're trying to sell you something with it. We all got to earn a living here, but we don't do this to market something right after and tell you, yeah, we got the ultimate bar or whatever. That's not an issue here. We want to help everyone. So, John, anything else, my friend? Give out your info. I'll give mine. And if you could hang on the line, I'd appreciate it, please.
Yeah, brother, you know, you mentioned the pullover bench.
Yep.
I think that's an awesome piece of equipment, not in existence. I'm just throwing this out to you. If anybody of your listeners, I'm looking for an old-school spider curl bench.
Oh, man, that was nasty. So, yeah.
If anybody has one, they want to get rid of it, you know, I'm sure you probably don't want to. That's the point. If you're listening to this show, you don't want to get rid of cool stuff. But if anybody knows of where I can get one, that is one of the things I still want in my collection. So I throw that out to you. But seriously, folks, get in contact with me anytime. If you have any questions about things to talk about on the show, I'll do my best to get back to you in a timely fashion. You can follow me on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter very much,
yep,
but I'm on Facebook. You can contact me on there, friend me. We'll get that done. Submitstrength.com. We've got some crazy cool equipment on there that nobody else probably is making or doing, things like the revolving barbell. You know, get on it. Check it out. And again, pressing the limits, if you want to see some crazy stuff and you say, I want that crazy guy to come, you know, and light himself on fire or whatever at my event, or, you know, jump through, whatever it may be, yep, you know, get in contact with me. Look for the book, should be coming out probably in 3 months.
Awesome.
A couple books, And again, just always a privilege. Support this program. You know, if you're getting something out of it, make sure you support Eric.
Thanks a lot, John. I appreciate that. Kind words. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. Check out our three brand new programs. You're going to hear more and more about them. We just started marketing them. We're going to be doing a few other things to them. As I was telling John in the beginning, our good friend Bill Hinburn is lending a few steps too. And for anyone that's not familiar with Bill, I would tell you go out and search him out. But Bill is a master with all this type of stuff. And you talk about a friend, just like John, everything. These are people I've been, you know, thank God for the show. And even though it's been a rough 3 years almost, you know, losing an $80,000 a year job and living by the skin of your teeth, you talk about a compliment to my life to meet all these people and have relationships with them. And down the road, we will all meet up. I mean, I would love to just be able to tell you the offline talks we have, but I will not do that because that's stuff that we talk about. If we bring it up on the show and we're both all right with it, I'll spill my guts with anything. But I've been very lucky. I mean, very blessed to have this and to meet all these men and women, because if this didn't happen with my job, I never would have, you know, I could have read, I've been reading about John for years. I probably could have reached out to John, and I'm sure John would have answered me like he did how we got everything started here. But what I'm saying is, all of you folks out there, whether you're our family of listeners or our family of guests here, think about the opportunity you have here. You have an opportunity to be the best you could ever be. You'll be extraordinary, not ordinary, and that's what we are. And when you hear like what John and I just posed to you and the routines and the talk about things we do to make ourselves better, that, and I'm not trying to hold anything back. I'm not a believer in that. Nobody knows everything. I'm very well aware of that. But a lot of people won't tell you these things. A lot of people will charge you for these things. And you know what? I will say this. I've had experience with it. It's not everyone, but the majority of them, once they get your money, they walk away. Not interested in that. I want lifelong friendships with everybody, and I want to be around for another 30 years. And I always say, it's only going to be an act of God that's going to kill me from this. So even if I'm not lifting 400 pounds anymore with a stone, believe me, I got the experience, and I can talk about this stuff in many ways till the day I'm dead. So start approaching life that way. And as my dad used to say, take the bull by the horns. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows John and I have done. I will have this show up within the next 3 to 4 days because we're doing older, newer shows because of the release of the products. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. I appreciate it. AHA Directory. You can find Motivation Muscle there and get it into your vehicle 24/7. If there's a show you'd like John and I to specifically do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with a multitude of things here. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or in the gym, never be afraid to give words of wisdom. And I mean inspiration, because you know what? 5 words, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, can change your life. I'm sitting here telling you that because I've had very nice things said to me. And let me tell you, they inspire you to do greater and greater things. And I'll tell you one thing, and I say it all the time, and I hope it inspires you. Jimmy sits right in front of my laptop. I'm looking at my beautiful brother right now. Jimmy, no one, and I repeat, no one will ever inspire me the way he does. And when the days are hitting the floor, and it's like you just don't feel like, man, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I've had enough of it. I got news for you. When he's looking at me, all that bullshit disappears. And I'm telling you right now, it's very important. So don't forget that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile, because that might be all they get that day. And we know that's more prevalent than ever now. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, bend it again, press it and pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we're domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, has been listening to Eminem from the beginning. When I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That's what we're all about. We're about manliness, womanliness, and kids too, man. We got, you know something? I got a grudge with the world with a lot of things when it comes to all those three things, and I'm going to settle that too. We are going to build champions, but not only champions in the gym, men and women and children of character that mean something. And I'm telling you right now, standards and loyalty and confidence is everything. I'm telling you right now, think about that. Very important. Also, too, Frank Klein, greatest college professor in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who was like a father figure to me. And I don't know if I could be over there every Friday with him in the afternoon, but I'll tell you this, I do my best to do it. John was like a dad to me. My father had died long before I met John, and I miss Fridays with John, believe me. I'm not a real, I don't think you'd call me a touchy-feely guy at all, but I am loyal to the ones that love me, and I love them, and you would never have a better friend in your life than me. Believe me when I say that, and I'm very careful now who I associate with more so than ever. John used to say two words when you walk to the door. Keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself on your worst day or best day. I promise you, like I am, you're going to smile from ear to ear. And I know John would be very proud of me to be carrying on that legacy, and I'm honored to do that. Those three men and Jimmy constantly revolve in my head all the time. All the time. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends or more we're coming. We're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Join our family. Join this big revolution. I'm telling you, you're going to have the best 28 to 30 years of your life if you come on board. You be part of our whole family, and you listen to what's going on. And who knows? Maybe you're going to have a story to tell, and you're going to come on Eminem. I'm telling you right now, there's many who have come on here with their stories, and they're just, they can't believe they're on the show or they're talking with me. And I say to everybody all the time, if it wasn't for the family and guys like John and everybody else, I wouldn't be anywhere right now. So my job and your job is just as important as what I do. I just keep the circus rolling, that's all. Also, too, Les Brown, we all have greatness. We'll take it two steps further. We got your back, and we believe in you. And I don't believe in today's world many people would ever put that out in the open. But we're not like everybody else, and remember that. John, as usual, smoking show. I'm glad we could get you on today, as always. And I thank you for being on, and I look to many, many more years ahead, my friend.
Absolutely, man. This run rocked.
They all rock. They're awesome, man. They just get better and better. So, for John Bruni, it's Eric Fiorello. We'll set up another show with John next month. Be on the lookout for this, because if this doesn't set your pants on fire, I don't know what will. So everybody, as I always say, have a great week. Go out and do something magnificent. The world is asking you to contribute. Thanks, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.